Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. It's becoming a common thought these days that religion is the enemy, while the human heart is our only safe haven. Science is king, and reality is simply observation and opinion. But in this state of mind, the devil finds fertile soil for planting all kinds of nasty stuff. Here to explain is Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine. Lincoln, let's talk about secularism today. Should we Christians be concerned as it spreads around the world?
Well, yes. I think the fact that, especially in the so-called Christian West,
yes,
where whole swatches now of Europe in particular, and increasing amounts even in the U.S., identify themselves as secular where they were once religious, you can't say that's a good thing. It reminds me of Matthew Arnold's poem, you know, the English poet. He says, "The sea of faith was once at the full, but now I only hear its lonely, sad, retreating roar." I mean, there's no question that the modern world and science that you alluded to and fact-based reality is not being kind to traditional faith and Christianity for many people. But what's emerged in the U.S., I think, is an add-on to that underlying dynamic where many leaders, in particular of the politically active Christian right, are decrying the separation of church and state. Mm-hmm. And part of their cry of foul is that secularism is itself a religion.
Mm.
So when you separate the church and state, you're actually giving free rein to a secular religion,
okay,
which I think is nonsensical, but we need to talk about it.
Yes, it has a belief structure. The fact that it doesn't include God is just one of the parts of the structure, right?
That's the crux of the argument.
Yeah.
Does it have a structure?
Yeah.
What I think is part of the confusion, particularly in the U.S., is for most of my life, growing up first in Australia, but from a teenager on in the U.S., in the Cold War, you know, we were indoctrinated to see the Soviet Union, which was the epitome, yes, of a secular state,
yeah,
but founded on the secular religion of communism.
Yeah.
Because I can make a very good case, yeah, that communism was structured as a religion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It didn't have a divine pantheon or spirituality, but structurally, it was very similar to the way religion worked, and it saw itself as the direct enemy of not just Christianity, of all faith, because they had put their faith in the progress of mankind, man's ability to improve himself and to create a secular paradise. I mean, it seems sort of sinister now when we look at the history of communism. It was an illusion. And, you know, what we're left with is Cuba, that's a geriatric form of communism, and China, that's really proved the Darwinian side to communism, that's morphed to something more like capitalism.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But so, yes, I could give that argument away if you talk about communism. And that's what we've been indoctrinated in the West to see it as secular communism, or a religion of man against the religion of God, as exemplified by the godly country, you know, mum and apple pie and God and all the rest in the U.S.
Yeah.
But, you know, that norm has gone anyway. And in spite of the news headlines, I think, getting mixed up with modern-day Russia and a communist state, there's a dysfunctional, at times, neo-crime family aspect to Russia, but it's not communism. But we sort of are reverting to that history. And now, as the religious factions in the United States are salivating for direct political power and are kept at bay by the First Amendment, the most prime part of the Constitution designed to protect liberty, by deciding which sphere is which. Church, in its own sphere, absolutely empowered and unrestricted by the state, and the state about secular, day-to-day, non-religious functions, neither the twain shall meet.
Yes.
That's offensive to many religionists. And given that our society is inclining more towards secularism, they're ascribing a secular, pseudo-religious agenda to this effort to keep religion at bay. It's a great irony in my view.
Interesting, interesting. A secular version of religion is what you're saying here.
That's what they see it as, yeah. But it's a straw man argument.
That's right, exactly, exactly.
And it's on my mind today as we're recording this, because in the last couple of days I've had a very stimulating email conversation with one of our readers who took violent exception to the separation of church and state and just kept ragging on the idea that secularism is a religion. Like, I'll read a paragraph from him. He says, "I do not understand how a worldview that disregards God or a deity or the supernatural is neutral toward what constitutes appropriate law, justice, ethics, morality. Atheism and agnosticism is neutral theology, but theism is not. Why is a man who believes all authority is from God not neutral, but a man who believes men are their own source of authority is?" And part of my answer to that is I said, well, Thomas Jefferson, who was hardly a religious person, right, when he wrote the Declaration of Independence, made reference to nature and nature's God.
Yes.
So the secularist recognizes transcendent rules of human behavior. That's what it boils down to. It's not doing whatever seems right in someone's eyes, as the Bible says. It's true, secularism is more easily hijacked by a false sense of morality. But as the Bible says, everyone has an innate idea of what's right or wrong.
Yes.
So the fact that you have a secular structure doesn't mean that it's now hell-bent like Nimrod and the Tower of Babel to challenge the heavens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was never the intent of the United States Secular Republic. And further, a true understanding of the separation of church and state and some of the leading comments by the framers of the Constitution was that they expected that in administering a secular regime, the individuals, many if not most of them in their view or in all likelihood would be Christians, that their Christian sensibility would cede the application of secular justice. Not turn it into church courts, but they would be honest. They would be fair. They would be tolerant of other races, other peoples, and other ways of doing things. That's the aspect of religion that's being forgotten when you try to say, well, here's a secular religion.
Yeah.
Why make a competitor where there's no competitor? I think the worst defense of secularism towards religion, which I hinted at in another discussion we had about Australia, is that it can be dismissive or colorblind about religion. It doesn't care. It just doesn't compute. It's an irrelevancy. And it's up to religion, I think, in a dynamic country to make itself significant in the lives of citizens.
There you go. There you go. I've discovered in talking with people and on social media and whatnot that the greatest proponents of the separation of church and state are the secularists, the humanists, the people who don't have a religion. They want to make sure that religion does not come in and tell them what they need to do and what they have to do. And the left-wing people, they're very, very good at keeping church and state separate. So it's almost like the lack of religion, so-called religion, is more positive in helping us maintain that separation than the right-wing people who are out to get us.
Well, at the moment, that's so. Not been quite that way in the more distant past.
Yeah.
But for the last couple of decades, that's the way it's twisting.
Yes.
And it's an uncomfortable feeling for me, and I think for those that support Liberty Magazine, a constitution and a biblical view and a historic view of what best creates religious freedom. More and more we see that we're standing shoulder to shoulder with those with secular arguments.
Yes, yes, it surprised me. Yeah.
Doesn't mean I buy their secular agenda.
Right, exactly,
yes, they're very zealous to defend the Constitution.
But that's what the right-wing people are going to say, you know, oh, you're defending atheism, you're going over there, you're losing sight of God.
Well, it's syllogistic to make the jump, because to defend the Constitution because you're a secularist shouldn't diminish the Constitution.
Yes.
Now, I know one thing that really played into the hands of this religious objection, saying that secularism itself is a religion. There are a number of court cases going back two or three decades now by the Freedom From Religion Foundation, where they've challenged up to the Supreme Court the Pledge of Allegiance and Ten Commandment monuments and so on. And they've been somewhat correct on strict interpretation of the Constitution separation edict. But we know their goal is to remove religion from society, freedom from religion.
Yeah.
I challenge that very strongly.
Yes.
I don't think you can find any evidence that those that wrote the Constitution intended to remove religion from society. Not in the slightest. Quite the contrary.
Yes.
They expected it to flourish, and they expected a strict separationist view to give religion the best chance of flourishing. Because religion united with the state gains a lot of power, but atrophies in its application in the minds and lives of the individual person.
The most amazing part of this, Lincoln, is that if you study into God and the theology of God and the life of Christ, it is all about freedom. It is all about letting people believe the way they want to believe. It is all about loving them and nurturing them and protecting them. So what is happening today is, you mentioned the other program we did, a distortion of religion. This is not what religion should be all about. Am I right?
Absolutely. But just to go back to the opening point, I think, other than to hear people boldly say it, when you examine the idea that secularism is a religion and is functioning as a religion, it's a puerile argument. Mm. And it flies against the meaning of language. It's not like secularism was invented in our era. It's always been there.
Yes.
Not just the pagan gods, people that didn't believe any of the gods. Mm-hmm. There's been people like that from the beginning. And so suddenly now, because you feel particularly threatened by it, to say that, well, it's a religion too, treat it like a religion, is sort of nonsensical. In my view, apart from the structural argument we've been having, if someone has a secular mindset without deep prejudice, they're really very open and a missionary field for you to spread your views to them, have dialogue.
Amen.
Don't treat them as a competitor.
Amen. Oh, my.
I just want to plant this in our listeners' minds as something to mull over, because we're more and more hearing this very strident accusation against secularism used as an argument why Christianity in particular, but why religion should cross that line in the sand and gain control of the reins of power, because it's already in the wrong hands, another religion, secularism.
Oh, my. www.libertymagazine.org is the website. Lincoln Steed is the editor of Liberty Magazine. His magazine is on that online place, and you can read articles, you can listen to these radio programs, you can watch his television programs, read his blogs, all there at libertymagazine.org. Lincoln, thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Lincoln Steed, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone.
If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call 443-391-7258 or email us through our website at libertymagazine.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.